Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. The theme is Walls Down, relevant to our friends and our community, and is from the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, vicar at St. James. The readings are taken from Luke 15, beginning at verse 1, and John 1, verses 1 to 4. You can watch the whole service on our Facebook page, as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website.
I shall be reading from the Good News Bible, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 15, and beginning to read at verse 1. One day, when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started to grumble. "This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. What does he do? He leaves the other 99 sheep in the pasture and goes looking for the one that got lost until he finds it. When he finds it, he is so happy that he puts it on his shoulders and carries it back home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says to them, 'I am so happy. I have found my lost sheep. Let us celebrate.' In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who do not need repentance. Or suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins loses one of them. What does she do? She lights a lamp, sweeps her house, and looks carefully everywhere until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says to them, 'I am so happy. I have found the coin I lost. Let us celebrate.' In the same way, I tell you, the angels of God rejoice over one sinner who repents." This is the word of the Lord.
This reading is taken from 1 John, verses 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. This is the word of the Lord.
Start with just a moment of quietness. Jesus, our living hope, as we explore what it means to be a place where people can meet you in the same way that we one day have met you, a place of rejoicing, a place of celebration. Open our hearts and our minds that we may hear what you want us to be and to do, personally and as a church community. Amen. Thank you. So we are doing this series. If you're new to the church or visiting, we're looking at the vision and the values, and one of the values is to learn to create a space where we can relate our faith, with our friends and our neighbors, whether this space is here, whether it's at home, whether it's at work. How do we relate the message? How do we relate our faith with those around us? Well, Thursday evening, a few members of the St. James Church, myself included, had the privilege and the joy to attend a special service. Some of you might recognize this wonderful lady, Nikki Bradford, who is now the new rector of Christ Church in Nailsea and two other churches, which the words are so complicated, I'm not going to tell you what's their names, but it's in Tickenham. There we go. And next to her is Bishop Michael. Some of you know also that Nikki Bradford is, of course, Sue Collard's daughter. And so it was a great service with plenty of food after, wine. There was wine after, and there was real coffee. And in their hall, on the wall, there was a big print showing their plan to reorder the church, which included removing the pews and creating a more flexible, modern, and welcoming space. So I said to Nikki, here are my observations. Good food, wine, real coffee, and a plan to reorder the church space to make it more accessible to non-church people. I think this place has great potential. Yet, it will be of no avail if the church people are not willing to commit themselves to the possible changes and tests and challenges that are required for them to grow and become more connected and relevant to their non-Christian friends and neighbors. And so Bishop Michael that evening had a challenging sermon. He's a great preacher. You can just sit and enjoy. He has great humor. He brings really encouraging speech, but he's also quite challenging. And he asked that challenging question, which is still ringing in my ears. How serious, and he was telling the congregation there, and he's telling us all, how serious and how committed are we in following and living out the ways of Jesus? This Jesus, who in our reading was popular among the least, the last, and the lost. The outcast of the day. The infamous Jews working for the Romans, called the tax collector. Those seen by the religious caste as having loose morals because they were not following strictly the rules and the laws of Moses and the many rules and regulations that they had added themselves. One historian put it like this, the degraded and the outcasts. And yet these were the people who crowded around Jesus. So we read in that lively translations, now the tax collector and the outcast were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes outcasts and eats with them. In 1865, William and Catherine Booth abandoned their traditional concept of church pulpits to take God's word directly to the people. They preached and they lived out practical Christianity called soup, soap, and salvation, working towards both social and spiritual transformation among the society of the day and society's marginalized people. Their work included setting up shelters for people who were homeless, family tracing services, soup kitchens, helping people living in the slums, getting out of that, and also setting up rescue homes for women fleeing domestic abuse and prostitutions. And of course, their work gave birth to what we know today as the Salvation Army. In 1966, a plucky young woman from Croydon boarded a ship with nothing more than £10 and prayer and a prayer that God would show her where to get off. And when the boat pulled into Hong Kong, she sensed that this was the place God was calling her, and she obeyed. Her name is Jackie Pullinger. And the place she particularly felt called to was a lawless slum full of opium dens, pornographic film theaters, and triads who profited from crime and prostitutions. It was in this place of darkness that her life began. And she got to work, loving the least, the last, and the lost, showing, and as she did, God showed up. People addicted to drugs became free and filled with God's life. Crime bosses surrendered their life to Jesus. Prostitutes stopped their work and found new ways of looking after themselves. Now, closer to home, we're going to start an Alpha course here, but Alpha course also happen in prisons. And there, prisoners hear about the good news of Jesus and are transformed. Jesus, in modern examples, among the prisoners, Jesus among the marginalized, Jesus among those addicted to substance, sex, or gambling. And Jesus still calls his people, us included, to be a light in the darkness, to be a force of love, to have courage and determinations, to be among the least, the last, and the lost. Now, we're not all called to be a William or a Catherine Booth or a Jackie Pullinger. But our call is to be a witness. Witness, we are all sent and we are all witness of something God has done in our lives. That first, that second reading that we have in John's Gospels is also what we find in one of the epistles about the Word that was in the beginning coming and living among us. And in the letter, it says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this is what we proclaim. It's a word of life and transformation. And of course, we are not in the first century. We haven't seen Jesus physically. We haven't touched him. We haven't been around him. But at the same time, we have seen Jesus at work in our lives. We can point to things, real things, touchable things that Jesus has done for us. We have learned and heard promises that have strengthened us and encouraged us and built us up. And that we can share. That we can share with our friends and our neighbors. What have you seen of God's action in your life? What have you heard in the last months of God's love and promises? A word that has sustained you, that has built you up, or a word that has redirected you? What tangible realities of God can you talk about to others? What does it mean to be that church without hall? And I found this beautiful picture of church beyond our walls. And I like that picture because it shows the cross at the heart of a community. And it takes again the theme of being rooted in what we've explored. But it shows that this is when a church is at its best. It transforms, it gives life. It's like a tree full of promises and life. So what does it mean? Well, we've seen it's about telling the story of God's work in our lives. It's, in a way, as simple as that to start with. But also, there is a clue, I think, of why Jesus was so popular, and especially among the outcast. And it's in the muttering of the Pharisees. It says, this man welcomes and eats with. He welcomes and eats with. What does it mean to be a welcoming church? Not just a church that shake hands and, you know, a welcoming in all its sense. And we have moved on at St. James in the way we want to welcome you, if you're new, the way we want you to be able to connect to make connections with the life of the church. And we've explored ways of eating together. I don't know if you remember the special harvest meal that we had when some of you hosted people and some of others were hosted. And it was a great celebration because things happen when we eat together. The plate is, what do we call it? I will get the expression. The slate is clean. It's like a slate clean. Like, you know, we're all on the same, around the table. We are on the same page, basically. We are on the same place. But what is God maybe calling us further? How maybe might we explore that even more? How can we even be more welcoming? What does it mean to welcome? To sit next to the person and the person feels, I can just be myself here. Not that everything is fine with my life, I'm still a work in progress, and that counts for your vicar too, but I'm here to find grace. I'm here to experience God, God's love and transformation. I'm here to be changed and to change, but at God's space, God's timing. And how do we open our own houses, maybe, to invite non-Christian friends to eat, to share a meal? And maybe with a prayer to say, God, if there is something, if there is an opportunity to give a testimony, to share something of my faith, or just to pray with them, open the doors. Jesus was creating the conditions, the environment, where people could experience God's power, God's presence, and God's message. So what kind of spaces in the church, at home, in our own life, what kind of activity, events, is God leading us so that this kind of culture can happen? A culture where non-church people can, in a sense, feel at home and draw near and hear Jesus. Draw near and hear Jesus. That's what those people of the day, the outcasts, they were all gathering around to hear Jesus. They were drawing near to him and hear him. So it's not enough to, you know, set up an event where we have great fun. It is about giving the opportunity to people to draw near and hear Jesus. And maybe we need to be a little bit bolder with that. One of the things we need to address is what someone called in a book, the dinosaur syndrome. The dinosaur, what's the dinosaur syndrome? That's clinging too tightly to the past and failing to adapt to a changing society. If you look around, anyone that's about less than 50, most probably hasn't got any church education, hasn't grown in a church, more like maybe people above 50 or 60. They don't have the language, they don't understand what happens in the church, they think it's completely foreign. So the dinosaur syndrome, which is expressing our Christian faith in words that don't make sense to our non-Christian friends, in ways that no longer makes any connection with what they are experiencing, what they're living, with their world view, with what they're going through. Going back to Jackie Pullinger, she had an interview and a few questions, and one of the questions really struck me, and I thought it was relevant. The work that's happening now in Hong Kong is called St. Stephen's, and there is a place, and people are continuing the work there, and she was still visiting at the time regularly. And the question was, what about that work, St. Stephen's? Will that work stop when you pass away or when you die? Well, that's what she responded. I've told them, you can do what you like, just as long as it's what you feel passionate about and the Lord told you to do it. You don't have to carry on my work. So whether St. Stephen's goes on or not is irrelevant. I think, and this is the kind of things that struck, I think many Christian groups exist long after they have ought to have stopped anyway. The group serves a purpose for a season. The group serves a purpose for a season. And we can say about roles, positions, activities. And so it makes me think, what are the areas, and I know we've been exploring and praying, but is God saying something more? What are the areas in the life of this church that has become like dinosaurs? What are we cherishing too much, clinging on too much, and where maybe God is not there in it anymore? Someone said there is a force within every church for keeping things as they've always been. And I think that's what Bishop Michael was getting at. We all want changes until changes come. So the question we need to, and I need to ask myself regularly, is, are we extending the season of an activity, a group, a project? Am I extending my role? And don't worry, you know, I haven't applied to another positions at the moment. You know, you're not losing. But it's a question we need to ask in our own roles. Am I extending my role or my position, my responsibility? Are we doing things in a certain way that are more like dinosaurs? And maybe a picture to help you. We all have on our food we buy best before date and expire date. Yes, so best before is, it tells you that the food is no longer in this perfect shape for the date. You know, you can still, yeah, but it's expire tells you that this is not safe to consume anymore. Is it best before or expired? And I'm still clinging on to it? That's, I think, the question of Michael, Bishop Michael. How serious, how committed am I in walking the way of Jesus? Being relevant with our friends and our community in such a way that they can see and hear in their own way, with their own vocabulary, with their own culture, the realities of God and its gospel. And yes, we need both actions and words. BISM is action, but it's also faith and words through prayer. In a book called The Wild Gospel, Bringing Truth to Life, Alison Morgan says, to share the gospel in words alone is rather like having a conversation on the phone instead of face to face. All the nonverbal part of the message is lost, and with it, much that is necessary to faith. But to enact the gospel without speaking it is like leading a horse to water without allowing it to drink. For what we have to offer is not just human concerns, but it's a life-saving relationship with God. And so we all have a responsibility to pray, to discern, to own up, and to act. And so I wonder this morning, what is God saying to you, to me, to us? How are we going to respond to his guidance, his prompting, so that we can grow more and more in his good will? So is there something I am resistant to lay down, to stop, or to delegate? Is there something I am prompting to pick up, to start? And I always give a word of advice. If you think God is prompting you to pick up, first asking, what do you want me to lay down? Because we are very good at picking up, but we are very bad at laying down. God never wants us to be overstretched. Or maybe it's just, you know, there is nothing to lay down, there is nothing to pick up, there is just need to persevere, because you are in the place God has called you to be. And similar, we need to ask questions at church level, in our groups, life groups, at PCC, among the leaders. And those are some of the questions that I'm going to really seriously think about and maybe use more regularly in groups. What in what we do as a church is done simply because that's the way it's always been done? What do we have to stop doing? How can we as a gathered community understand what it means in our changing world to express the gospel together in a way which effectively communicates its living power to those around us. So a church without wall, I don't have the solution, I have many questions, but it's a journey. And if we are sincere in our journey, God will lead us and show us. Some of the chains might be painful. Laying down something, stopping a role, is painful. It's like cutting a little bit of our identity. But when we do, we will never be out of job, because God will give us something new. So Bishop Michael reminded me on Thursday, and reminds us all today, that only if we seriously and fully committed ourselves to decide to follow Jesus in his way, only then can life and growth and transformation happen. So we can choose between the dinosaur way, I forgot a slide, or the Jesus way. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come and do your work of persuasion, direction, and empowerment. Jesus, forgive my timid faith and fill us all with dreams that reflect your intentions and your abilities to save and transform. Father, forgive our safe and tired ways, and open our eyes and our hearts to see you in all your majesty, to believe that a new way forward is available, and to respond joyfully to your guidance and your workings. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.